going to get into the Word of God today, and we have been doing a series called Stand Still and Go Forward, which is kind of what is called an oxymoron, which means that it's two opposites of one another. Stand still. How do you stand still and go forward?
Yeah.
So are you ready to get into the Word of God? Woo-hoo! Amen. I believe today is going to be something that's so vitally important in your life as far as the teaching is concerned. This is a teaching that literally changed my prayer life.
Yes.
It changed it many, many years ago. And a lot of this came as I began to search God's will for my life. I would love to find in the Bible where God would tell me to go to a certain state at a certain time, which he did, but I can't find that in the Bible. But what I could do was I found it in prayer. You know, when Charlie and Kathy went to Thailand, they could not open somewhere in the New Testament where it says, other than go into all the world, go to Thailand. So how do you find out literally the will of God for your life? That's not written in the Word. The purpose of reading the Word of God is that we have the written will of God, of what God gives us for our Christian life. But the everyday things, the life decisions that you and I have to make, who do you marry? You know, where am I supposed to go to do this or to do that? What work should I have? There's a lot of things that are not in the written will of God, but, and listen to me very carefully, but it's already been written for your life.
Right.
It's the devil's job to distract you and to deceive you and try to get you out of that. It's the Holy Spirit's job to lead you, guide you, and direct you into the will of God for your life every single day. Amen? So you ready to get into the Word? All right. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus 14, verse 15. Amen.
All the woos today.
Yes, so woos. So we know that this is when Exodus, of course, is the children of Israel being called out of Egypt, being delivered and set free by the mighty, powerful hand of God, just like you and I were set free when we were born again by the power of the name of Jesus and believing in that name. And Moses says to the people, and God, the people saw Pharaoh. Pharaoh's coming behind them. So Pharaoh released them, and now Pharaoh wants them back. You were released from the devil's power when you made Jesus the Lord of your life.
Right.
But the devil has not stopped trying to get you back.
Right.
He has not stopped trying to stop you achieving and accomplishing the will of God for your life. His most powerful, one of the most powerful tools is deception. And that's the reason it's so important for us to understand the Word of God, to know the Word of God, read the Word of God, which is the will of God, and also spend time in prayer. So, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Tell the children of Israel to go forward. God is never telling us to back up. God is never telling us to retreat. He will tell us at times to be still. He will tell us it's time to pull apart and spend some time in prayer.
Yeah.
He knows us. He knows what's going on with us. He knows what we need to hear. He knows what we need to know. And so, in Psalms 139, verse 16, listen to this. It says, "Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed. And in your book," everybody say God's book.
God's book.
"In your book, they were all written, the day's fashion, purpose, and preordained plan for me when as yet there were none of them. Did you know that every day of your life has already been written? It's in God's book. God has already written when you would be born,
mm-hmm.
exactly what he has for you to do, the direction he wants you to go in. This is the reason it's so important to be born again, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, because without that, you're not going to understand and know the will of God.
That's right.
And so then we have, and Pastor Cam, I'll let you take this. With the first thing we have in the will of God is the written will of God.
Right. And that's what we talked about last week with Pastor and myself. We talked about, here you go. Heard you a little raspy.
Thank you.
I'm joking. So we have the written will of God, which is the Bible, right? This is the written will of God. And we find in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17, it says, all scripture, this right here, all of it, not parts of it, not half of it, not some of it is diluted because of the translation and different things like that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have here in the notes, it says, our responsibility is to be taught, to read and to study the word of God. So here's the reason why. Because if this is the written will of God for our life, this is like the foundation for everything that the unknown will of God will be built on in our life. So we have to have the foundation in God's written will if we want to be successful in walking out God's revealed will to us through the Spirit. Okay, so I'm not going to be able to carry out the God-sized dreams for my life if I'm not walking in this right here. So God's got really, really, really big plans for you. Right? We talked about it last week, Jeremiah 29:11, that he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. And that's not just some cute scripture that we put on the back of graduation cards. That's reality.
Yes.
That's reality. God knows the thoughts that he has towards you. God knows the future that he has for you. God, listen, God knew that you were going to be sitting in this building September 27th, listening to this word, being equipped to go out into the rest of the week. It is not unintentional that you live in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It is not unintentional that you have the family that you have. It is not unintentional that you have lived the life that you have lived, no matter how hard it may be. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, it's going to be really difficult to carry out that plan. And so that's why we spent, and if you didn't get to listen to last week, I encourage you, listen to the podcast, go up on YouTube, however you listen to the messages, go listen to that, because this right here, this is going to be the springboard. This is what's going to make the God-sized dreams in your life possible. Because if you're not living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just, you're going to continue to just kind of skate by in life. But if you want to live not just a successful life, because you can have a successful life, quote unquote, by the world standards, just by living normally, making sure that you're spending less than you're taking in, all kinds of stuff like that. There's all kinds of basic life principles that can give you a measure of success. But if you want to take the next step, see, that's what Christianity and the plan that God has for you is all about. It's about surpassing your own potential and walking in God's.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are called to. You are called to surpass your potential, because there's plenty of people that aren't saved that are doing some pretty dynamite stuff. I mean, that's just the truth. Can we be honest in here? There are some people that are around, even people that aren't evil, like just good people that are doing some incredible things. But can you imagine if they were saved, had the power of the Holy Spirit, had the same power that raised Christ from the dead living in them. And then to begin to understand those things and walk in those things, it's a whole nother level.
Yes.
And so just reviewing from last week, you gotta build your life on the foundation of the word so that you can stand under the immense weight and glory of the calling that God has for you. But what we want to talk about today is how to figure out what that calling is, figure out what that what the will of God for your life is that we can't find it right here.
So there's two things real quickly, Pastor Cam, in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and verse 16, notice that it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Right.
It means it's God-breathed and is profitable. Everybody say profitable.
Profitable.
It is profitable for doctrine, and again, that's teaching. But look at these other two. It says for reproof and for correction. And so they're right in the middle of this sandwich that God's put in here. He's put reproof and correction. And it seems like that in this day and time that we're living in, that anybody that gets corrected gets upset, mad. Especially, I've seen so many Christians that when you try to bring correction to them in some way, shape, or form, they'll say, well, I'm not listening to this, and I'm out of here. I can go anywhere I want to go. True. But the problem is you go with the problem.
Yes.
That still needs to be corrected. And when you get to a place that you do not allow the Word of God or someone speaking the Word of God to correct you, and when somebody does correct you, it should be in love. Mm. The Bible says, speak the Word of God, speak the truth, speak it in love. And so it's not demeaning, you don't beat people up with it, it's that you bring a word. And remember that when you bring a word to somebody, or somebody brings a word at times to me in my own life, the word of God is a sword. And it will go in, and sometimes when we're out of the will of God, the word of God becomes a filleting knife. And it will open you up. But it opens you up so that you can receive the healing that you need.
Yeah.
Which
That's
is
right.
So vitally important. See, God, when He speaks to us, when He reproves us or brings correction to us, this is so important for you to understand this.
Yeah.
God knows the plans that He has laid out for you. And when somebody gets us on the wrong path, or we're going in the wrong direction, or we're doing the wrong thing, God, through the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit will not only teach us or speak to us, but even if we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, God then will bring people across our path, or He will bring us somewhere to listen to a message, and that message is there to correct us.
Yeah.
That message is there to help us, to bring us into a position and a place where hopefully if I'm out of the will of God, I will repent and get back in the will of God. Because God can't bless ignorance. And He definitely will not bless rebellion. Mm-hmm. And so when I humble myself and I allow the Word of God to bring reproof to me, and then it says reproof and for correction.
Yep.
And when that correction comes, that's when I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I repent of any sin. I repent of any rebellion. I repent of anything that's come out of my mouth that may have hurt someone. It is amazing how we can say things at times and hurt somebody, and we don't even know we hurt them. And the reason we don't know we hurt them is because we're becoming insensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And when the Holy, because the Holy Spirit will always bring correction, and He will bring conviction.
Yeah.
To us. And when He brings conviction, the quicker we repent, the faster we see things change. But as long as we hold on to something that God is trying to get us to repent of, guess what? I open the door for the devil now to come in and build bill things against me. It opens him up to steal from me.
Yeah.
It opens him up to destroy in my life and my family. So it's important that when reproof or correction comes from the Word of God or by the Holy Spirit, that I tune my ear. And it is not in any way, shape, or form to put you down. It's
right.
Actually, correction is to come and bring you and put you back up where you need to be.
That's so good.
And get you in the right place.
Can I say something
yes,
there too?
Go ahead.
So when the Word of God brings correction to our life, or whenever the Spirit of God is bringing correction to our life, it draws on this tension on the inside of us. And we can find that tension in Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what happens is we read the Word, or the Spirit brings a scripture into our hearts, and there's this tension that gets drawn on us of whether we're going to be conformed to the world or if we're going to be renewed and transformed into His image. So there's two images that are constantly drawing on our souls and on our spirits. It's the image of the world or the image of God. And so whenever the Word of God comes, and we all know it. Don't be lying now, but how many people have heard a scripture or heard a message and you felt tension on the inside of you? Of like, okay, I need to change, right? Yes. Like that's every single last one of us, right? We have all felt that before. And if we haven't, then please come lay hands on me, because you got something that I ain't got. But so we hear the Word, and there's this tension that comes, and it's, am I going to be conformed to the world, or am I going to be transformed into the image of His Son?
And it's a fight.
It's a serious fight.
It's the fight of faith. We
yeah.
think a lot of times the fight of faith comes when I'm standing and believing God for something, okay? But the fight of faith comes in when I'm making the decision whether I'm going to be obedient or disobedient
yeah.
to God.
Yeah.
It's a fight
yeah.
in the flesh.
Yeah. And it releases us when it releases us, whichever way we decide to go, it releases us into a will. God's will or the will of the world. And so you think about that in your hearts, that every single time, okay, because the correction's not comfortable, right? I don't know of a single time that I have felt comfortable when there's been correction being brought into my life.
But I've always done it in love.
I always done it in love. But there's always, right? So there, it doesn't feel comfortable.
No, it doesn't.
It feels so much more comfortable to just go with whatever the world says, which is do whatever you want to do, live your best life, which to them means never do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, or never do anything that you don't want to do. But then there's the God side of things, which says come up higher. Come up higher into the will that you were originally created to walk in. Into the image that you were originally created for. I bring it up all the time. Genesis 1:27, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And then we lost that image whenever we got into sin. And so now there's this constant calling and drawing of the Holy Spirit saying, come back into the image you were created for.
Yes.
Being transformed into the image of the Son through the renewing of our minds, that is being drawn back into the image that we were always supposed to walk in. And so the Word of God comes, we feel that correction, we feel that reproof, but we need to say yes to those moments.
Yeah.
We need to surrender to those moments. Why? So that we can be drawn into the image of God, so that we can do what I talked about at the beginning, which is being able to walk in the will of God.
And that's where, where the Bible says that Jesus was strong in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, think about this, how do you get strong in the Spirit? You get strong in the Spirit by obeying.
Come on.
You get strong in the Spirit by being obedient to what God said. Because the crazy thing is, this flesh that we live in, it is not saved. It is this flesh that you live in. You know, I've asked the Lord this before. I just, Lord, why didn't all of me get saved? So, you know, this flesh that you live in is rebellious against God. This flesh will want to do its own thing. This flesh will throw temper tantrums. This flesh will not like the will of God.
Right.
This flesh doesn't like the will of parents. Amen? What's in this flesh is rebellion. But you have power in your spirit man. Because your spirit man now that Jesus has come to live on the inside of you, your spirit now man is connected 100% with the one who lived in total obedience his whole life. Okay? Then you have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you.
Yeah.
But your flesh will fight the will of God. And the more that you submit yourself to the will of God, and the more you resist your flesh and put it down, because you have, through Jesus, you have control through the Holy Spirit. You have control over your flesh.
Come on.
Your flesh can't make you do things that it could make you do before you were saved.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we are like, I don't know why I did that. Why do I do that? Listen, as a Christian, it means that I'm not yielding myself to the Holy Spirit. I'm not spending time in the Word, which builds me up. I'm not spending time praying in the Holy Spirit, which builds me up. And so when things come my way that are contrary and out of the will of God, and may come from temptation, may come from other things, if I'm not seeing myself as being strong in the Lord and in the Word, then the devil can deceive me.
Yeah.
The devil can just kind of begin to very subtly deceive me and take me out of the will of God.
Right.
And so it says here, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Now watch this, by the renewing of your mind. That's the reason, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not taking time to read the Word of God, and you don't read it just for a devotion.
No.
When you pick up the Word of God to read it on a daily basis, you say, Holy Spirit, teach me.
Yeah.
God's Word.
I say read it deeply.
Yeah.
Read the Word of God deeply. So if we're just reading chapter after chapter or verse after verse, but we're not getting anything, it's sometimes it's because we're just reading along the surface. So one of the best things that we can do whenever we're reading the written will of God is to read it slowly and sincerely. Let it marinate.
Yes.
Sincerely. Read it. Don't just glance over scripture, because I can tell you something that, like, this morning is a perfect example. I woke up, I was in my prayer time, and I was reading. I can't tell you how many times I have read Romans 6, 7, and 8. I mean, just in Bible school, in everything. It's just a scripture. It's just a book of a certain section of the Bible that, like, if I was stranded on a desert island, I would take Romans 6, 7, and 8 with me. It's so full. But I've read it over and over and over again. I don't know how many thousands of times I've read it, but this morning, something just slowed me down. And I was just taking it scripture by scripture, and I was seeing things that I had never seen before. And it wasn't that I was just like getting this revelation. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I'm going to go preach this to everybody else. No, it's like it was doing something in here, inside of me, inside of my heart, in a way that it had never done before. And so that's being renewed by your mind. Don't take it the wrong way. Just because you read scripture over and over and over again, like, you can read the Bible 1,000 times through and the Bible still never come alive on the inside of you. It's not that you read, it's how you read. Okay? So read the Word of God deeply. Let the Word of God read you. Let the Word of God read you. When you read the Word of God, don't compare yourself like in a bad way, in like a condemning way or anything like that. Read the Word of God and say, am I walking in this? Am I walking in this type of encounter? Am I walking in this type of character? Am I walking in... Begin to look at it. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how can I apply this scripture to my life? Read deeply.
Yes. And so it says, don't be conformed to this world, because we're saved really from the structure of what of the thinking of the world.
Right.
Because the enemy has set that up. He's the God of this world, little g, but he's the God of this world. He has set up his own thoughts, his own mindset to teach us, to keep us away from God, to make us think that we don't love, don't want to do what God calls us to do, but to get us to focus on what the world has and to say, that's what I want out there. When in fact, God blesses us when we're in Jesus, when we're in him. But here's the thing. God says he gives us his promises and adds no sorrow to it.
Yeah.
The devil will give you his promises, but he will add great sorrow to it.
Right.
At the end. He doesn't show you that at the front. So it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, here's what you've got to do. You've got to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God.
Yeah.
So this year, I will have been serving the Lord and walking with God for 50 years. For 50 years, I've been serving and walking. I've been walking with the Lord, okay? It never gets old. It never gets old. I continue to feed myself in the Word of God. You know why? Because I want to be productive and profitable. No matter how old I get. But I want to be able to sow into the younger generation. I want to be able to speak to them and let them know, you know what, I've been through some things.
Yeah.
I've been through some hard times, tough times, some times of famine. I've been in these places. And, you know, how do you get through them? You know, how do you believe God? How do you keep moving forward and don't get sucked back into the vortex of the world and become a statistic? You know, I don't want to do that. I want to bring honor to God no matter where I'm at, no matter where I'm working, no matter where I'm living. I want to bring honor and glory to God. So let's go through this, because there's a place that I want us to get, Pastor Cam. Number two, we must pray his word, which is his known will.
Yeah.
The word, the reason is so important. Listen, I feed off this. I've been feeding off of the word of God for 50 years. And I still today get excited about the word of God. I have nowhere near exhausted the revelation that is in God's word. I'm like a little kid when it comes to this.
Yeah.
I love it. I sit down and I say, teach me, Holy Spirit. You know, if you're not reading the Word of God and saying, teach me, Holy Spirit. I mean, on our website, we have a daily Bible reading. You can read through the Bible in 1 year. You know, and so I read constantly. I read our daily Bible reading. I'm the one that put that together. I read it every single, and I read every day. Every day I read and I said, Holy Spirit, teach me today. I'm hungry for your Word. Teach me. Yeah. And it's amazing what he'll do. So it says this in praying God's word. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Okay, his word is his will. He hears us. So when is it that he doesn't hear us? It doesn't mean that he's departed from us, but when is it that he doesn't hear us? When we are asking something that is not according to the will of God.
Yeah.
The great thing is we have the Word of God, which is the will of God. Okay? And we're going to find out about the things that are not written in the Word of God. But we ask with faith, and he hears us when we ask according to the will of God. And we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, because we're asking according to his will. If you find it in the Word of God, this reason is so important to read the Word of God. If you find it in the Word of God, that is his will.
Yeah.
That's his will. So, and if I'm out of his will, I ask him to forgive me. you know, and I repent. So if he know, now watch this, if we know that he hears us, this has to tie in with praying the word of God, which is the will of God, and if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So the question is this, how do I know the written will of God for my life, the days that have already been written in his book? We read that, okay, in Psalms. How do we know what is written that is unknown to me at the present? How do I know that? Okay, so if God has already written my days. Now, by the way, you don't have to have revelation to brush your teeth. Right? I mean, there's certain things that we know we need to do that we were taught to do. But in daily prayer, praying the known will of God, which is the Word of God, and we pray for that which is unknown,
yeah,
in the Word of God. So every single day, and the Bible teaches us how to do that.
Right.
And so listen to what Jesus said in John the 5th chapter, verse 30. He said, I can't of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek, that means to inquire to, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me.
So good.
So, watch this. So, there is a time that Jesus himself had to pray to ask the Father what his will was when he picked the disciples, because he could not find in the Old Testament, he couldn't turn to a scripture and it would give him all the names of the disciples.
Nope.
So what did he do? Watch this. In Luke the 6th chapter, verse 12 and 13, now it came to pass in those days, he went out to the mountain to pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
And continued all night in prayer to God. Now, why in the world would he spend all night in prayer to God? Because it's the same thing that I have spent hours and hours of prayer of eventually, if Jesus did not come back in my lifetime, who would step into my place? Who would take the ministry? Who would take the pastorate? In my life, if Jesus does not come back in my lifetime or the rapture doesn't take place. So I prayed year after year after year, and I'll never forget when Pastor Cam looked at me one day and he said, Dad, I'm called to the nations. I'm going to the nations. Glory to God. This is what God's called me to do. I'm going to the nations. And I went back like a little wet, whimpering puppy back to my prayer closet and said, I thought you told me that he would succeed me. How could I miss you like this? He's going to the nations. What am I going to do? Woe is me. It's amazing how we thank God that God is so patient with us. And right in my heart came these words. Son, I'm sending him for training. And here's what I said, but I'm supposed to train him. Son, there is other training that he needs that you can't give him, but I need him to be one-on-one with me, with his wife, so that I can establish things that need to be established in his identity and in his life. And he said, therefore, I'm removing him and I'm taking him to a place that I can speak to him, train him, he and his wife both. And I said, okay, Lord, and I repented. I said, okay. And then after the second year, I was like, how long is this going to take? After the third year, Have you forgotten me? After the fourth year, what I'm getting ready to tell you is absolute truth. After the fourth year, I said, okay, who else do you have that I can train? And every single time the Lord would drop this in my heart, son, be patient. Okay. All right. I'll try.
Right.
Be patient. And in the fifth year, it was actually in the fourth year. It was in the somewhere in the fourth and fifth and the start of the fifth year, the Lord actually gave him a dream.
First year. It was the first year.
First.
Yeah.
First. The Lord gave him a dream and showed him that he was going to come back and pastor. And so he would succeed me, which that means after probably 100 years old. So he would succeed me. And so at that point, when God brought him back, that's when the Lord said, now you can start training. Because I've put within him what I want. Now I will show you how to train him. And so we've been working on that. We've been doing that. So that's the reason that's the reason he says this. Watch this. Now it came to pass in the days he went to the mountain and prayed and continued all night in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say something to you. There are some of you that when you face life decisions, you don't just make a decision without going into your prayer closet and seeking the will of God.
Like going to the mission field.
Yeah. You don't say, listen, because this is scary, okay? You don't say, well, this feels right to me. Mm. Notice what you just said. It feels right in my flesh.
Ooh, can I kick over a sacred cow?
Yes.
Peace doesn't always mean calm. So there's certain times in your life that God will speak to you about where you're going, and you might have peace but not feel calm. Or there's times that we've got to get out of this mindset that peace is this feeling like peace can feel like everything is going to be okay, but peace doesn't mean that like everything is in order. So whenever Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side, Jesus knew there was going to be a storm. God knew there was going to be a storm. And God still told them to cross over to the other side, knowing that there was going to be a storm there. So the disciples were in the middle of the storm. They were afraid Jesus was asleep because he already knew the storm was going to... Peace, inward peace, does not mean outward calm. Okay? So, like, there's even whenever Michaela and I were praying about going to the mission field, because, I mean, like, going to the mission field can sound really cool, right? It can sound really cool. But if you don't have the call of God on your life to actually be a missionary, you're going to get your lunch ate. But not just being a missionary, really anything in life. If you just do something because it feels good, but not because God's spoken directly to you, you can get your lunch ate up. And so it's really important to understand, though, that your peace doesn't actually mean that everything's going to be perfect. So the peace that I follow is the peace of the Holy Spirit, not like, oh, all of the doors are opening. And there's times when God speaks to me and all of the doors just cuckoom, 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 fly open. And I'm like walking on sunshine and there's not a problem in the world. And then there's other times where God's spoken to me and it's like I'm just hitting the wall over and over and over again until something finally breaks. And that it's both. It's not if or, it's both of the, it's yes and. And so whenever you follow the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, whenever you say, hey God, what do you want me to do with my life? Or hey God, what do you want me to do in this situation? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's all going to be perfect. So don't follow perfection, follow the peace of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And don't be deceived into thinking that peace means total comfort.
Right.
Understand that peace, it comes from the Holy Spirit that's within you. Yep. And so even with Pastor, he had to trust that I was going to hear the voice of the Lord as well and come back home. Because whenever I left Fayetteville, North Carolina, I was like the Moravians, they packed their bags in coffins and I'm going to go die on the mission field, because that's just my personality. Like I told Michaela, whenever I told Michaela we were going to the mission field, I was like, we're going to the mission field. We ain't never coming back. We ain't come back for Christmas. We ain't come back for nothing. Because I'm a little intense, right? And so Michaela had to find her inner peace too from the Holy Spirit, because she was like, this joker's taking us somewhere to die, apparently. But she had to trust, he had to trust, I had to trust, and nothing outside was perfect. Actually, when God spoke to me, so the day that I asked Michaela to marry me, that morning God said, I want you to go on a missions trip. And I was like, all right. I actually called a bunch of people. I called Charlie. I called Jack Harris. I called a bunch of people that we support through the church. And it just, everything was just kind of falling through. Not that people were not doing their jobs or anything like that. It just wasn't coming out. And the funny thing was, I called my dad one day. And I said, Dad, I know God told me to go on a mission field, but like I keep on calling people and it's not working out. And Dad was like, well, have you called Brett Hancock yet with Mountain Gateway? And I was like, no, I'm not going to call him, because if I go to mission field with him, I'm just going to feel like I'm called to be a missionary, because he's such an intense guy and I'm an intense guy and we're going to get along in our intenseness. And I'm going to be like, I'm called to be a missionary too. Because I know me. And the funny thing about it was, my dad just said, well, just pray about it. And I was like, okay, well, I'll pray about it. So I was praying about it. Like 2 days later, Brett Hancock calls me out of nowhere and says, hey, I want you to go on a mission trip with me. So I'm saying that to say, things weren't working out. God spoke something. God said, go on a missions trip. He spoke something to me. I tried to do something in my own power. I tried to open up doors for myself. Things were falling to the ground. I was just keeping on praying. And then God opens the door for me. It wasn't that God spoke and then the next day. Sometimes that does happen. It does. But sometimes there's that waiting process. There's that praying process. And you hold on to the word that you know God has given you. And the next thing I know, in December, I go to Mexico with Brett Hancock, and God speaks to me and says, you're actually called to be a missionary. Now, catch something else there. God didn't say, you are still called to go to Covenant, to be pastor at Covenant Love. He just said, you're called to be a missionary. He gave me a portion of it. He gave me half of the story, and then I went full-fledged into being a missionary, and like I said, I was like, I was going to die and then on the mission field. I was going to be martyred or something. I told you, I'm intense. And so I get to the training to be a missionary, and I have a dream that I'm supposed to come back, and I was like, wait a second, God. That was like year one. I still had 4 years left in my commitment to Mountain Gateway. So when God speaks to you, it doesn't mean that that everything on the outside is going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But follow not comfort, follow peace.
Yes.
Allow the Holy Spirit. And you know what peace feels like? Peace is this strength. It's this strange confidence that God's going to work it all out. That's what peace is. Peace is. It's supernatural.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel normal. It feels like I haven't been able to explain it. Like coming on as a pastor on staff here in the midst of COVID and all of this other stuff, there's just been this strange confidence that everything's going to be okay. And if you look on the world around us right now, everything is not okay. Mm-hmm. But I just know in here that God spoke to us. God spoke to my father and said that we're going to have a church that looks like heaven. And so I look at the racial tension going on in the world right now, and I look at the political tension that's going on in the world right now, and I have this strange peace. I know we're called to have a church that looks like heaven.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's not that I'm comfortable. Are you comfortable with everything that's going on right now? Was it comfortable not being able to come into, not coming into this building for the last 2 weeks?
No, this whole thing that has happened has been for every single one of us. Because the change has been so strange, so weird.
Yeah.
Okay? And what's happened to so many Christians is the same thing, the same scenario that happened to Peter when he got out of the boat and started walking on the water. I mean, everything was good.
Yeah.
He
not
got
outwardly,
out.
Outwardly.
Yeah.
There was still a storm going on.
He got out. I mean, Peter was, I am water walking right now. Everything is so good. It's wonderful. And then it says this. You can miss this if you don't see it. And it said, and the wind became boisterous. It got stronger, waves are hitting him in the face, and you know the enemy is right there whispering in his ear saying, I'm so glad I got you out here now, because you're going to die. You're going to drown. It's over for you. You should have never got out of the boat. You should have never tried to step out in faith. You should have never started that business. You should have never gone in this direction. You should. The enemy is always trying to keep us in the boat.
Yeah.
Because it's only out of the boat that you're going to experience and see the supernatural power and provision of God. That if Charlie and Kathy could tell you when they went over to Thailand, oh my gracious, when they went over there the first time to step out in faith and to do that, I mean, you're thinking, okay, where's all this money coming from? Where's our support coming from? And then God says, build an orphanage. Well, how am I going to take care of them? You know? But God expects us to step out in faith. That's what faith is all about. It's easy to step out when everything is provided and everything is there. You don't need faith.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need faith for that. You know, our whole life is a life of trusting God and faith. But listen.
Can I say something real quick there?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when you learn to walk in faith through the written word of God, it becomes easier to walk in faith on the spoken, revealed will of God for your life. So if you can follow what he speaks to you right here, whenever he speaks a word prophetically to you, whenever he says, start that business, or whenever he says, make this move with your family, or whenever he says anything, I don't know. I know God's speaking to people in this room. I know God's showing you things. When God says, get involved in the political realm, like when God tells you to run for office, or when God tells you to take a pay cut. I don't know if that's for somebody in the room. When God tells you to take a pay cut, if you've been following this, it's so much easier to follow this.
Let me say this. In my life, there have been things that God directed me to do that I spent so much time in prayer, and it kept confirming inside of my spirit. It made no sense in the natural.
Oh, God.
But I did it because it was confirmed over and over again, confirmed in my spirit. So I did it totally trusting God. And the moment I made the step of faith, everything began to fall in place. Everything began to happen. But now listen to me very carefully, because this is so important that you understand this one aspect. Now it came to pass in those days when he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called the disciples to himself, and from them he chose the 12, whom he also named the apostles. I want you to notice this. Sometimes we make decisions so quickly, so hastily. And a lot of times,
that's so good,
the enemy can put things in our minds that look good and feel good, but it may not be the will of God.
Come on, that's so good.
Listen, folks, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. If he had to make a decision that the church was going to be built upon, the apostles, who would be the apostles in their teaching, he should have known it like that. Remember, he came here just like us. He had to spend all night in prayer, seeking whom God would say to him and who to choose. And if you go on and read that, God gave him every single name of every single person. So many times we make decisions based upon if everything looks good and everything is in place. Mm. And it feels good to us. Mm. When you're making decisions that are life-changing, this is the beginning of the church. He's choosing the apostles. It's the same thing when you choose who you're going to marry. It's the same thing of you choosing where you're going to go to school, students, in college. It's the same thing with your vocation. It's the same thing. And God may lead you into a place that makes no sense to you in your vocation, and yet, because you're obedient to him, that's going to be the stepping stone, or that's going to be a relationship that's going to lead you into the next step of where God can put you and bless you and use you that you would not even comprehend or think God could get you to that place through this particular moving of the Spirit of God, or this plan is making no sense. And one of the things that's in my life that I have taught my children, and that Tava and I have done for years, when we know that there is a decision that's going to affect our whole family, it's going to affect my life. You know, when I was praying for a wife, I prayed and I said, God, I grew up down at Myrtle Beach, running the bars and all that kind of stuff. I do not want to make a mistake with who you have chosen, already written in your book of who you have chosen for me. So I'm not going to play the dating game. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to be involved in my church. I'm going to do everything that you've called me to do. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give offerings. After I got saved, everything was God. And I developed a prayer life. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God brings a man into my life who's one of the greatest teachers in America, and he starts pouring into my life, starts teaching me and prayer and all kinds of things. And when I was young in my Christian life, and I started spending time praying in the Spirit, seeking God, and the next thing I know, listen to this, God supernaturally, speaking at a full gospel businessmen's meeting, God has this man come up to me, hand me his card. He's from Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is in 1980. Hands me his card and says, God told me to give you my card, and I want you to pray about coming to work for me. And I'm sitting there going, no, I'm going to take my dad's business. This can't be you. I took his card and went home, put it up at my house on the chest of drawers, and totally forgot about it. And the next morning I was in prayer, and the Lord said, call him. This is part of your destiny. I was like, whoa. So I call him. I come to Fayetteville and meet with him, talk with him. And when I'm going back and I'm praying in the Spirit,
The Lord says, I want you to take that job.
Wow.
And I was like, Lord, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. And actually, it's less money too. You know, and the Lord says, this has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with your destiny. He said, you trust me to take care of you. So I came. I was here in this city for 1 year, started a Bible study. After the end of 1 year, I am believing God. God, you, I believe with all my heart, you have not called me to be celibate.
Bible says it's not good to burn.
Yeah. I said, that's what I said. You said it's not good for man to be alone. Last time I checked, I'm a man. And I am alone. And I love you with all my heart. But I know you have somebody for me. In 1 year's time, God sent me to Dallas, Texas to go to Bible school. I go to Bible school. The Bible school I'm in has a prayer line. All the students have to be on that prayer line praying for people. And I get on the prayer line, and this lady comes and sits right beside me. And I'm talking to her, and we're talking to each other, and became friends. The next Sunday, that lady who I met, who was on the prayer line, brought her daughter up to meet me and introduce me to Tava. And the rest is history. And then from there, God, again, after I graduated from Bible school, God put me in ministry. And then 10 years later, the Lord speaks to my heart and he says, you're going back to Fayetteville to start a church. And I'm just telling you all of this, but I spent time in prayer. I spent time seeking God.
Yeah.
I didn't just make rash decisions. I would spend hours seeking God in prayer, praying in the Holy Spirit, making sure that this is the right thing. I am turning...
What? One of those ages.
One of those ages.
The upper echelon.
I'm turning 72. Okay? Yes. Amen. And to this day, after walking with the Lord for 50 years, to this day, I spend as much time in prayer that I did when I was young and I did when I was in the middle of where God was leading me and all that. My wife can tell you, I go lock up every single morning. This morning it was like 4 o'clock, getting up, going, seeking God, praying, interceding, and seeking him. Because I still want to be effective.
Yeah.
I still want to do the things for God. And so I spend time, and I've always done that. And the older I get, it's almost like the more I do. Because we live in days that I do not want to miss God.
Yeah.
I do not want to be deceived.
Yeah.
And then God brings us back. He speaks to us 2 years earlier and says, I'm going to bring you back. And so when we came at that particular time, I mean, I'm in my 40s, you know, but age, it doesn't matter when God has an assignment for you. Caleb took a mountain at 80 years old.
Yes.
So I'm like, I am not going to stop, and I am not going to be on fire for Jesus. Until the Lord takes me, or unless I walk into heaven
I am going to be on fire. I'm going to continue to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where I am, no matter where it's at, because I want to finish my race.
Yes.
I want to finish my race. I want to finish what God's called me to do. Now, have I gotten wiser in my years to delegate and to do things that you need to do and understand how to do when you have something that grows? Absolutely. Am I spending time to pour into him and to pour into our staff and to pour into our pastors continually to teach and to do things that we need to do, but also to spend time with him to help him and Michaela making the transition, Tava doing the same identical thing? Absolutely. Yes, I'm doing that. You know why? Because it's the same thing with you. Every single one of us should leave something behind.
Yes, legacy.
That points to that I have fulfilled the will of God. But all of us that have children, pouring into them, teaching them the things of God. And wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And don't sit there and think, well, you know, I just work down here and that. Where you are is exactly where God has you for the moment.
Yeah. Come on.
And as long as you're griping and complaining and murmuring, you're not going to go anywhere else.
Yeah. Can I say something there?
Yeah.
Leverage the temporary for the eternal.
Yes.
So,
it's good.
What I mean by that is wherever you are having an eternal impact, which is why you have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and be led and guided by him. Because if not, you can miss moments to impact eternity. Whether that means that you miss an opportunity to minister to someone, or whether that means that you miss an opportunity to build something that's going to outlive you, or no matter, there's all kinds of different realities there, but we leverage the temporary for the sake of the eternal. We understand that we serve an intentional God. And so when you're doing that mundane job again, when you're doing that mundane thing again, think about it in the grand scheme of eternity. Think about if you can do your job with joy, that might make somebody around you look at you and say, wow, they're doing their job with joy. I want to do my job with joy. Hey, how do you do your job with so much joy? Or, hey, when you made this decision that was really risky, but then it ended up working out, how did you, what about your leadership did this? And then you get to tell somebody about how you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and how he led you and how he guided you. Or not even that you heard a voice necessarily, but you felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit. You followed the Holy Spirit. It unlocks everything when we stop looking at today as just today and start looking at today as an opportunity to impact the eternal, then there's this craving for hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
There's a craving that comes to say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me, because I know that today is bigger than today. I know that today has way more impact than today.
Yes.
It's going to last. And so whenever he took that job, it had an eternal impact, because look, I mean, think about how many people wouldn't be saved had he not listened. Think about how many, think this building wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be married to my wife. There's all kinds of different things. Your life means so much. And God's plan and your purpose for your life means so much. And that's why it's so important to every single day wake up, God, give me my daily bread. Speak to me today. Show me how today can impact eternity. And whenever you think about it that way, baby, it makes life worth living.
Yes.
It makes life worth living.
Yes.
And it's deep. And we're running out of time, so
let me just say this. You know, Jesus taught his disciples
to pray for the will of the Father. The most important thing in your life is praying for God's will in your life.
Yeah.
Father, not my will, but your will be done. And by the way, doing his will is not going to be the easy road to take. You're going to fight the fight of faith. You're going to have to discern whether or not the enemy is trying to put things in your mind that are contrary. And a lot of times when God calls you to do something, it does not look on the outside. When you're looking at it, it is not always pleasing to your flesh. And there can be other people who come and try to tell you, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go. You don't want to do that. It's the same thing Peter did with Jesus. When Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, and Peter took him aside and said, no, Lord, God forbid that this would ever happen to you. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus turned around and looked at him, and he spoke beyond Peter, and he said, get behind me, Satan. He was able to discern that this is not God speaking.
Yeah.
Okay? He knew the will of God. Why? Because right here, he spent time in prayer. And listen, just because, here's the crazy thing. Sometimes you think just because that you are not a pastor, you don't have to spend as much time in prayer. Or you're going to come here and get the word, and I don't have to spend much time in the word. Ladies and gentlemen, the will of God for your life is found out in prayer.
Yep.
And through the word of God. Filling and renewing your mind and spending time in prayer. And sometimes the decisions that you make are not something you just feel in the flesh. Sometimes you might have to spend all night long praying for that to make sure that you know it's the will of God. Because let me tell you, I've been there. I tell you, the worst feeling in the world is to be out of the will of God and miss God. Because everything looked so good on the outside, so wonderful, felt so good, and this has got to be God. One of the worst decisions I ever made in my life when everything was falling in place and it felt so good, and it was like, and I'll never forget that after I left that position and I was coming home, I stopped on I-95 at a rest area, put my seat all the way back, put the moon, the sky roof, or whatever it is, back, moon roof, whatever, and I put it back, and I was looking at the stars, and I said to the Lord, I was weeping and crying, and I said, how could I make such a mistake in this decision that I made, that I ended up going to Pittsburgh? It was a horrible decision, but it was everything I always wanted. And all the doors open. And the Lord's right there under the stars in a rest area, looking straight up, tears rolling down my eyes. And I said, God, how in the world could I miss you like this? And he said, because it was something that you wanted so badly that you thought without even praying that it was me. And I let you go do this, son, because I needed to teach you a lesson concerning hearing my voice. And I'll never forget, I just started weeping and crying. I said, God, I had repented when I was up there. And I said, Lord, I just forgive me for making this crazy decision like this. But it felt so good. It looked so good. And he said, son. He said, everything that looks good and feels good is not always my will.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of that can be your flesh. That's the reason that I've called you to pray about things. To seek my will about things. And sometimes, son, when you don't get the green light from me, it may not be my timing. And so therefore, you must continue to pray and read my word, but continue to pray and seek my will. And when the time comes, I'll open the door for you.
That's
don't
right.
Go try to kick the door down. And if the door doesn't open, don't go look for a window.
Amen.
He said, my timing with your life will always be perfect because it will be in my perfect will. If you will just be patient.
Amen.
And seek me with all of your heart, and I will show you, I will provide, I will take care of you. Just seek me with all of your heart. And then he said this, and in seeking my will and doing my will, it will not be easy.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I will give you the power and the strength to be able to go through anything and everything that you face if you will be faithful to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will take care of you if you'll just be faithful. Hmm. And that's one of the reasons that God puts together a local church. He puts together a local church so that we can all together, with all of our giftings, we come to team together. I can't do everything. Pastor Cam can't do everything. And it's all of us. That's the reason God puts members in a local church. And by the way, don't you ever think that in the body of Christ you retire. You can retire in America, but when it comes to the body of Christ, no way. You don't retire. You can find something to do in the kingdom of God. But at the same time, listen to me very carefully. It is all of us working together. It is all of us working together for one common cause. And that is to see the city that God has put us in saved. To see the county that God has put us in saved.
Come on.
And that's our concentration. And that's what we do. And that's the reason we intercede and we work together. People say, well, I just come to get my word so I can go out. No, God's put us together to work together, to do things together, to reach multitudes.
Yes.
With Jesus. The gospel.
Come on.
It's all of us. Everyone, you have giftings that I do not have. It's all of us working together and working hand in hand and getting involved.
Yes.
You don't have to have a burning bush like Moses to get involved. It's when God puts you in a place, just say, okay, I'm going to find that place, Lord, where you want me involved.
Yeah.
It's all of us working together. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you put everything and everybody with everybody's giftings and doing something and working together, all of us together, it's like a little snowflake. One snowflake can't stop cars, but you put them all together, they can close down a whole freeway. And that's the same thing that God does with us.
Amen.
So let me just I just love taking our time. Don't try to get through. All the notes are up on the thing. You can do this. But I want you to listen to this real quickly. Apostle Paul is saying this. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. It's one of the reasons that folks, that prayer is so vitally important. You just having a conversation with God, talking to God about your life and about everything and praying about everything.
Yeah.
And he says, making requests if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. In other words, he was saying, if God wants me to come, I'm going to come, and I'm trying to find a way. Sometimes the way is blocked.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not the timing. And that's the reason it's so vitally important for you to pray.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And by the way, praying is just simply talking to God.
Yep.
And when I don't know how to pray about something, you know what I do? I pray in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
I pray in tongues. That's the reason God gives that to us. It's the reason the devil fights it so much. Especially in denominational churches that I was raised up in. It fights it. All that's passed away. It's not for today. You know? And of course the enemy would want us to think that. Because when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God.
That's right.
Every single time. There Amen. Are things that I don't know. There are things that I can't wrap around or find right here in the Word of God. That's the reason that Jesus went and prayed all night so that he would know who the disciples were.
Yeah.
Because it had already been written. That's what he did.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all awake? Amen. And so Spend time praying, God. That's the reason Jesus taught his disciples. You know what? Jesus didn't teach them how to preach. He taught them how to pray.
Come on.
And out of the prayer came the will of God for their life in everything.
Yep.
Amen. Holy Spirit will handle the rest of it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give you an opportunity that if you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, that's the only way that you'll actually find the will of God for your life.
Yep.
If you're out of the will of God, if you've never made Jesus the Lord or received Jesus as the Lord of your life, then you'll never understand the plan that God has already written for you. And there is a plan that he's already written. When you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit knows the whole plan every single day for your life. It's the reason Jesus spent so much time in prayer. It's the reason I spend time in prayer. And I don't get tired of that because I want the will of God done every day. And that's the reason Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so God has a will and a plan for every single life. You can't find that outside of Jesus. You can't find it outside in this world. The world's going to lead you away from God. And eventually, everything in your life will become miserable, fall apart, or it could be totally successful. And then when you breathe your last on this earth, you'll find out that there is a heaven and there is a hell. God never created hell for us. It was for the devil and the fallen angels. But if I keep my will against the will of God and never surrender my life and receive Jesus as the Lord of my life, that's exactly where I will end up. God does not want that for anybody. He wants everybody to be saved and to walk with him and to be in his family. That's what you were created for. Maybe you knew the Lord at one time and you've gotten away from him. Well, I want to make sure that it's time. If you're in this place today, which you are, or you're watching us, God's calling you to come back into his will. You say, "Well, I had a bad experience in a church." We're not talking about experiences in church. We're talking about being one with God. We're talking about the will of God that will never change for your life, the plan of God that will never go away and never change for your life. And when you stand before Jesus, you're going to see it. And I want to stand before him and I want to hear this: "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's what my desire is. Am I perfect? Do I make mistakes? Yes, absolutely. But I'm quick to repent and ask God to forgive me. Have I been hurt? Have people taken advantage of me? Absolutely. Welcome to life. Absolutely. But you know what I choose to do? Forgive and keep right on going. Forgive and keep right on going. And that's what I've been. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, or if you've been away from God and you say, "Pastor, I am ready to ask God to forgive me of all my sins and I'm ready to come back." If that's you in this auditorium, all I want you to do is just lift your hand right where you are in your chair and say, "Pastor, I want to receive, thank you, God bless you. I want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Lord of my life. Thank you, God bless you." Yes. The lights are bright, I can't hardly see. Anybody else? Say, "Yes, God bless you, thank you." Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me." Anybody else? "Yes, ma'am, thank you, God bless you, yes. I wish I'd have received Jesus at that young my age." "Yes, God bless you, thank you, sir." Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, that's me." Anybody else? Say, "Pastor, that's me." Anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? All right, all of you that raised your hands and those of you who raised your hands right there, you're watching us via TV or YouTube however you're watching us on Facebook, I want you to pray this with me and pray this out loud. We're all going to pray with you. Father God, thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
For this is the day that you have made.
This is the day that you have made.
And you've made me.
And you have made me.
You created me.
You created me.
And you have a plan for my life.
You have a plan for my life.
Father.
Father.
I believe
that Jesus Christ,
is
the Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I ask you today, Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sin. And I ask your forgiveness,
right now.
And I receive that forgiveness.
I thank you, Lord Jesus,
Cleansing me,
from all sin.
I am brand new right now,
because of your blood.
And I receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.